Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, if you are listening to this, you are listening to the very first episode of We Need to Talk About Britney, a Britney Spears podcast. Hi, I'm your host, Jen Zabrowski, and I am so excited for this first episode because I got to sit down with former pop star Mandy Moore to talk about Britney Spears. I never thought I would get to say something like that. 16-year-old me is freaking out. Here's the deal. I've loved Britney Spears since day one. I loved her in the Mickey Mouse Club, but I guess I'm referring to day one as when she released her first single, and especially when I saw her music video for Hit Me Baby One More Time. I loved her. There was something about Britney. I went to Catholic high school, so I had almost an identical uniform to what Britney wears in the video. Here's a little Catholic schoolgirl tip. We obviously didn't tie our shirts up. That was not allowed. But what we did do, we would untuck our shirts and let them just hang down. And then we would roll our skirts because our skirts were elastic waistband. So we would roll it like 3, maybe 4 times. So our skirts would be short. That was our trick. That was the look. That was the thing. So when I saw her in that video, I was like, that's my friend. And we've been friends ever since. That's 20 years. I can't believe it. There's so much to talk about when you talk about Britney. I mean, I want to talk about, you know, going back, her breakup with Justin. I'm still mad at him for not being there for her in 2007 when she really needed her old friend. And he said nothing and did nothing. So many people will say, like, how do you know? Like, you never really know what goes on behind closed doors and blah, blah, blah. I just know he wasn't there. But we'll talk about it. And I'm open to hearing what everyone else has to say about it. I looked at his Instagram, and he has, like, 50 million followers. 50 million followers next to, I don't know how many Britney has, but she doesn't have 50 million. And it's just shocking to me. Because I'm on Team Britney. Not to say there are teams, there, but you know what, there are. And I believe in Britney much more than I believe in Justin. But we'll unpack that. I also want to talk about Britney's Instagram. It's incredible, these fashion shows that she does. I really want to know why she doesn't have one custom-made long runner in her home. If you go back and look at these fashion show Instagram videos, you'll notice there is a collection of tiny rugs. Like, as they kind of make one rug, but why so many tiny rugs? She can afford an interior decorator. Like, can't we get someone in there to just, you know, measure and then place the order, you know, pick a color, and then it just arrives Someone will install it. Like, this isn't like Brittany needs to go to Home Depot and learn how to install this large rug. But I mean, it's a rug, right? Don't you just like throw it down? I don't know. I know nothing about these things, but I want Brittany to have one rug. That's important to me. I want to hear everyone's thoughts on her new boyfriend. I like when they work out together and she sits on his back and he does push-ups. I think that's romantic. So these are the things I want to talk about with all of you, starting with Mandy Moore. So enjoy, and I'll see you next time. Hello and welcome to We Need to Talk About Britney, a podcast dedicated to the legendary pop princess Britney Spears. I'm your host, Jen Zabrowski, and on this very first episode, we're talking about Britney's very first album, Baby One More Time, with, oh my gosh, you guys, 16-year-old Jen Zabrowski. I'm pinching myself right now because we have just the greatest first guest for this first episode. Musician, actress, adventurer, Mandy Moore is here.
Wow, I've never had all of those titles. I'll take it.
Thank you. Can you add adventurer now. Add adventurer. As you've just recently climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. Yes, am I pronouncing this correctly?
You are.
Because I'm always very gun-shy about pronouncing things. Like, I'm like,
you got it.
I nailed it.
You nailed it.
Would I have nailed the adventure to the top, do you think?
100%.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
I can't believe you're here. So I think what I need to do first as to anchor myself. This morning I woke up, I was talking to my sister. Mm-hmm. My sister's my best friend. She's 3 years older than me. Oh. We've always just been pals and just like always so close. And she has supported me through my love of all things pop music. Since we were teenagers, and I talked to her today and I said, Jess, she's very, you know, very busy. She's got two kids and she runs a business and all this and that. And I said, I just need to let you know that I'm talking to Mandy Moore today. And she said, Jen, you just enjoy it and really get in there and like be your teenage self, like access that. Because I feel like so much, and why I wanted to do this podcast is because I was moving away from the things that were bringing me joy and things that just like made me laugh and
no
feel
way.
Silly and free. And I was like, no, I need to get back to that.
Absolutely.
So then I was like, all right, access like teenage me. And then I think I accessed it too much and I got legit nervous about doing this and talking to you today. Well, I mean, you're such a lovely person. So now We're just hanging out.
And you know what? I'm excited about digging back into like tapping into my 14-year-old self.
Oh my
god. Like going back in time, thinking about this particular record and all of the particulars around it during this time period is how often do you get to like take that trip down memory lane? Love it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, fantastic. So this is perfect then. That's a perfect segue. I'm so glad you're excited to go down memory lane.
Yes.
Because I wanted to say from the top, okay, everyone out there, this podcast is a podcast where we talk about Britney. And in future episodes, we are going to hear a lot of different perspectives on Britney. Like, we have all these great guests coming in. We're going to have TRL VJ Damian Fahey is
no
coming in.
Way.
And I know, I'm sure you know him.
You've
been
do.
On the show.
Oh, absolutely. I was an MTV VJ back in the day. So I definitely know Damian. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. And Tom Lenk, Casey Wilson, like all these great people. And so they're going to come in and share their thoughts on Britney. But seeing how you,
yeah,
Miss Mandy Moore,
yes ma'am,
were right there.
I was there.
I mean, you
on the front lines.
You were the
front lines. Pop music.
Like, how does one get a record deal when you're a teenager?
You guys, I people that sort of know my story, it's a weird one, and I've told it a few times, but so I grew up in Orlando, but totally unrelated to the Britney and Christinas of the world.
Because that was kind of the scene, Orlando.
Because they were there, and Justin Timberlake, like they were all there because of the Mickey Mouse Club.
Okay.
And I just randomly happened to be a girl that grew up in Orlando. Like both my parents were from Orlando when it was the Orange Groves before Disney was there. So I grew up in Orlando, and I was just a dumb theater kid. Like, I wanted to be on Broadway. I loved Bette Midler. I didn't even really listen to pop music.
Oh, you're speaking my language. It's Bette Midler.
Yes.
Bette Midler, she has this live show that I have the record, like vinyl record of, that I love so much, called Live at Last.
Ooh.
Do you know of this?
No.
She did this live show, and I think it was on HBO, and you can watch it on YouTube because I do that as well. And it's incredible. It's this live show, and she did it when she was 35. And so also to watch that, I just turned 36, so I'm like, and watching, I'm like, it's just, it's incredible. So yeah. I highly suggest
Live at Last,
Bette Midler. Live at Last, Bette Midler. Yeah. I love that little nugget out of this.
So you
love
Bette Midler.
I loved Bette. And I was a theater kid. I was really dorky and wanted to sing the national anthem at literally every sporting event that would have me, whether it was roller hockey, arena football, like some random tennis tournament. And I happened to be singing, I think it was an ice hockey game, I sang the national anthem, and I remember like walking off the little carpet, like on the ice, to my dad, who was sitting in like a penalty box waiting for me. And these two guys sort of like beckoned me and my dad over and asked if I like had ever been in a recording studio before, and did I have any, like, would I have a desire to potentially record a demo? And I was like, no, I've never been in a studio, but that sounds so cool. This was 1998. Yeah, like early 98. And this was pre-Britney and pre sort of the pop music, or at least to my knowledge, like sort of coming to like the forefront of pop culture. So I took some money that I had earned from like doing local commercials, and I went and took like my summer vacation and started making this demo at the studio with these two random guys who had like written music. And they were like, here, you can have these original songs, and if anything ever comes of it, like, we'll be your producers and you'll make a record with us. And that's what ended up happening. So I was in the studio recording a demo, and this guy who worked for FedEx had a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend who knew the head of Urban A&R at Epic Records in New York. And this guy had actually signed the Backstreet Boys at Jive Records, and he had just moved over to Epic Records. And he came to Orlando and met me after he heard this, like, terrible demo. It was legit terrible because I had no idea what I was doing. Like, you know, if you've ever been – for people out there who've, like, never been in a studio, it's like hearing yourself with the headphones on and so close is so off-putting. And I know that this demo was – atrocious. So this guy flew to Orlando, and I sang for him, and I had just started my freshman year of high school, and I got offered this record deal, and it was crazy. Like, nobody at school knew that I sang, so like I slowly like had to tiptoe out during Christmas break and like tell my friends that I had just met, like, I'm leaving because I signed a record deal. And nobody believed me, and in fact I remember people telling me that, like, after Christmas break, teachers still would call my name, like, you know, during like roll, like, where's Mandy? And people are like, no, she left.
She's gone.
She's homeschooled now.
She's like, she's about to hit the road with NSYNC. So then, okay, so you get this record deal, and okay, I've always wanted to know, like, how do you, okay, so it's like you have a record deal, you're going to be making an album.
Yes.
And you sit down, and we're going to put you with a producer.
Yes.
Producers.
Yes.
We think that this would, like, I wrote this down. Who's Tony Battaglia?
He wrote many of your songs.
Tony
on your
Battaglia
first album.
Was one of those gentlemen,
okay,
who was sitting at the ice hockey game and heard me sing and approached me.
Oh,
crazy.
So it worked out for
Tony.
Hey, Tony. Okay.
Tony and another guy named Sean Fisher. So I worked with them on like my first record. They wrote the majority of the songs. They produced the majority of like the songs on the record. They didn't do my single Candy, but they kind of did just about everything else.
And did you know from the moment you heard Candy, you were like, Was it like, this will be the single? Like, we know this song is great?
They knew it was, but I didn't like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about it?
Breaking news. I didn't know pop music, and I was like, this is it? Like, when you hear a song like I Want It That Way or Baby One More Time or something where there's such a sense of immediacy in terms of like, oh, that's a hit song. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my taste in music has changed now, but I can still recognize, I think as most people can, like a first listen. Mm-hmm. If you're tuned in to like, you know, the melodic structure of a song and blah, 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 like you can feel like, oh, this is a big, huge hit. Okay. And I didn't feel that way about Candy. And I don't think that I connected lyrically to it either. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, I'm missing you. Like, Candy doesn't mean anything. It was, even as a 15-year-old, I was like, this is nonsensical.
You were not so into sweets. You were more into savory. You were like,
no, the weird thing is I do love sweets. I'm a sugar addict for sure. But I, even then, that like, it didn't tap into that for me.
Okay, and then also, okay, so you get the song, okay.
And you kind of like work your way into liking it and then eventually loving it. I use that like that term really loosely, but it becomes so ingrained in the fabric of who you are as an artist, especially like I was 15 and the rigmarole I think that goes on, or at least went on in the music industry like back when I was that age and like in the time of like, you know, Baby One More Time coming out and all of that, like that particular time period in like late 98, early 99, you go and shake every radio promoter's like hand at every radio station across the states. Like you want every single like time a song is played, like every single spin of airplay, like means something. It adds up. And I feel like the industry is just like, it's a completely different model now than it was then. But it was like all of that, it like, I felt like a traveling salesman when I think back to it now, because I just was sort of like lugging my suitcase with my wares and my one song, like my top hat, wow. You know, and like backup dancers. And that was what we did.
Would your mom travel with you?
Yeah.
Or your dad?
Yeah. I had mom or dad, one or the other with me.
Okay. And your backup dancers... Your backup dancers, are they your good friends, or is it more like they try to keep you separate? And I'm assuming if you were 15, that then they were older.
Like, so Brittany, I feel like when Brittany and Christina and Jessica Simpson, like the ladies that we were all sort of contemporaries and we kind of like came around at the same time, they're all like 2 or 3 years older than me, which when you're 15 or 16, like it's all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. It's like a freshman and a senior. Mm-hmm. So I feel like maybe their background dancers were definitely more of their friends and like maybe their like pals, and they went out and stuff together. Like I was a nerdy high school freshman essentially, and like the backup dancers that I had with me, by the way, I am the worst dancer in the world. Terrible, terrible. And I'm glad that like very early on in my career, the record label realized that and they're like, no, you just, you know what, just stand in front of the microphone and sing. Like, don't even worry about the dancing.
We're just going to add some pizzazz behind you.
Everyone's eye will go behind you and they'll watch them do all the moves. But so I was never really like friends with them. They were more of like great people to travel with. But I really leaned on like my mom or dad.
Are there, when you're about to release a first album?
Yes.
Okay, because, you know, I'm about to release this podcast and we're talking about Britney's first album. So it's like a lot of firsts going on here today. But
yes.
When you sit down with a team and you're like, you're about to release this first album. Mm-hmm. Is it the classic, you're sitting in a boardroom and it's like you talk about your image, your brand,
yes,
and the plant you do.
It was for me. Maybe it's not that way anymore. I don't know how the music industry works nowadays, but yeah, it was like going to 550 Madison Avenue, the Sony building, like the top floor, and you're sitting in like a big conference room and there's like, you know, people have drawn on like dry erase boards and there's like projectors, and it was pretty like there's a full-on presentation.
And are they like, okay, your look is gonna be cargo pants with a tank top and then like a tie around your
arm.
Your arm.
What the hell was that?
I mean,
that was just weird. No, nobody actually ever dictated what I needed to wear, like how I presented myself to the world, which I feel really lucky. No one was like, you're going to be this one, or you're going to be, like, everybody just sort of allowed me to wear what I wanted to wear and answer questions the way I wanted to. Like,
that's really wonderful.
I feel very lucky. Yeah. I don't know if that it's a case by case situation and that's just how it unfolded for me. But yeah, I was never sort of like shepherded one way or the other.
When I was preparing for this, much like Diane Sawyer prepares for all of her interviews, I was going through and watching.
Oh,
I revisited many of your music videos.
Oh, why?
Oh, because they're but they're incredible. And the thing that
they're relics of a time.
Yes,
time gone by.
Yes,
yeah.
And I noticed that that your videos. I'm not surprised to see where your career has taken you and where you are right now. And
really,
because I was like, whoa, I'm seeing the connections here. You have Listen, we just met.
Okay.
But I think that you are an old, old soul.
Oh, thanks.
And as a teenager, watching you in the performances you would give in your music videos, I mean, you really came through the camera and you really...
Thanks, Jen.
In such a mature way, almost where I was like, oh, this is, you know, for, you know, Britney dancing... And being like scantily clad at the time, you know, where it came across that way that she had very little clothing on and like gyrating and doing all this stuff. But I was like, wow, like even Mandy just sitting on top of, there's a music video where you're like sitting on top of a movie theater.
Yeah. Walk me home.
Yeah. And the performance that you're giving, just you sitting on top of this movie theater was very, I mean, it was just really grounded and very mature, and
thank
you were
you.
So connected. And I'm like,
I'm so
oh my gosh, it was, but it's incredible. But I
that's
think that you can
you.
See the, like you can see the thread, like through.
Jen, you may be the only person on the planet. I don't think anybody would have watched any of those videos and said like, yeah, at 34, I think she'll still have a career in acting, but she'll still be there somehow. I don't think anybody else, myself included, saw that.
Well, I mean.
But thank you.
Well, I don't think anyone's really studied this and
the music videos like you have.
To go back, but I think you can totally see it. Yeah, that really struck me in watching those last night. I was like, that
dang.
Really is something. And okay, so music videos.
Yes.
Much like the boardroom, is it like, and would you just show up and they would be like, this is the concept? Or could you be like, I have an idea?
No. Okay. You would get a couple of different treatments from directors, and then it was sort of like up to you, but probably mostly the label, to decide like what direction it was going to go, like who was going to get the video.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I think like with most things it was political, whether or not like they had worked with this particular director before, whether he or she was like hot at the moment and doing a lot of other videos for people sort of in the same world or the same space or other artists on the label. Like it was weird. I worked with like a weird, I think, like hodgepodge of like untested people versus like people that had worked a lot like in the same kind of like space that they were trying to make videos for me. But yeah, there's no real winging it. It was like back in the days of, remember the diary or the making of, like making the video?
I love making the video.
I mean, music videos don't really exist anymore, but that was the best show. It was like no matter who making the video was about, like the episode, I was so drawn in because it was a fascinating experience.
Well, yeah, you get to see, you get to see the artist that you're loving,
mm-hmm.
like that you're like you, because this was before any social media.
So you didn't know people in the same sense. People like didn't, these were the moments that were so few and far between where they were actually able to reveal themselves.
And it's while they're working doing the thing that you love and
them
you get
for.
To see them and you get to see the magic and how it happens.
Yeah.
And I loved making the video. That was so amazing. And and going back to your very mature performances in your music video, I wanted to say that then it was also no surprise to me. Maybe it was more of a surprise when you released Coverage, when you did that album. But now knowing you, I'm like, oh my, that also goes with you being such an old soul, because I was like, what year did that come out? And I think
2003,
it was
2003, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was 18.
So 18, and I'm looking at, I looked at that track list and the songs that you did cover. I mean, that's not your average 18-year-old pop star who's like, you know what? I want to cover Joni Mitchell. I'm going to cover
Joan Armatrading.
Yeah.
XTC, Joe Jackson, like random stuff.
How did that come to be, and how did you pick those songs?
I think it was me sort of like at that time in my life where most maybe college freshmen are discovering like poetry and movies and books and records, and I sort of started gravitating towards new music that was like uncharted territory for me. And I also felt like I was at the end of this relationship with my record label where they wanted me to do another like album of original material, and I was not interested in that. So I don't know, I just had this like harebrained idea with my manager at the time to like make this cover record of music that I loved that I felt people my age would love as well. They just maybe weren't aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went for it.
That's,
I don't know,
amazing. And so that was like the end of your record deal. It was like, oh, I need to do another album, so I'll do this.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It was like, I kind of felt like it was all sort of coming to an end with them, and I was going to maybe part ways and go and do a record somewhere else with someone else, which is what ended up happening. But it kind of allowed me like to sort of put a point on this relationship with Sony and Epic. Like, this is how I want to like bow out with you guys. Mm-hmm. And they were really nice to let me do it because it was a really weird idea, but I'm so glad that I have that in my arsenal now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's like amazing. And also to hear your voice and singing those lyrics at that time in your life at 18.
Yeah.
Touring with NSYNC.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Tell me what that was like.
It was every 15-year-old's like fantasy come to life. I went from watching their videos. I distinctly remember because I left school during the holidays, like during Christmas break. And I remember like the end of my school days, waking up in the morning to go to school and watching like their, remember when people had like Christmas singles? I guess they still do, but they had a Christmas, like, Merry Christmas. Oh. And I remember, like, the video, like, watching it on MTV and then going to school. And literally 6 months later, I was opening up for them.
This is so wild. It's not like you were, that is just,
like, in my little Catholic uniform, like, going to school. And then 6 months later, I was, granted, I went, I remember I came out to LA, I shot the music video for Candy, and then the next day I flew to Virginia Beach, Virginia for the start of this, my time on tour with NSYNC, and it was one of those summer amphitheater tours, and I and my four male backup dancers were singing on the little, they had like a little tiny second stage out like in front of when people like came through the gates. So we weren't, we eventually graduated to like opening up for them on the stage. Mm-hmm. But we started out like in a 15-passenger van and a trailer with all of our luggage and opening up on the second stage for them. But it was still crazy. Like,
were your backup dancers in this van with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we were all together.
And you had they were all guys.
We were all guys. Yeah.
Mandy, who did you have? Did your friends come and visit you on the road at all?
Not really.
Oh my goodness.
No. It was such a weird time. But I had my mom and dad, and I was so focused on the work that like I didn't feel like I was missing out. I wasn't lonely or anything.
Did it feel exciting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. It was like, I mean, getting to live my dream at that age, and on top of it, like, I'm opening up for this band that I was just watching their music videos on TV. Like, it was pretty wild.
And it feels like to me, so, and this is just obviously from my perspective of, like, being home in upstate New York and just being, like, your average teen.
Sure.
That once you are on TRL basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm assuming, Candy was on TRL,
mm-hmm.
and that was your first single.
Yes.
And you said all of this happened so quickly, like within 6 months. Like all of a sudden then, you just are a pop star.
I guess.
Like, to me,
add water.
Because like as the consumer, it's like, okay, you're on TRL. Oh, you are a pop star. So when did you feel that, where you were like, oh, when did you have this feeling where you're like, I'm a pop star?
Wow.
Or does it
right
feel
this
like that?
Moment? I think back. I don't think it ever really sunk in. I think because I was so focused on like the trajectory of moving forward, and just like everything was so unknown, that I just was like concentrated on putting one foot in front of the other and like preparing myself as best I could for whatever the day had in store for me. That I think even in that moment, like, I didn't have the capacity or wherewithal to really like digest what was happening. Not at that age. Like, if it were happening to me now as adults, like, obviously we are equipped with, like, all of the, like, we could handle what was happening. And I think my mode of, like, self-defense or a way to sort of, like, protect myself and insulate myself is just to be, like, it's, like, I'm really grateful, but, like, I just keep my head down and keep plowing forward. That's kind of, like, always been my thing in life.
You know? Even then, would you get overwhelmed?
Because
I run hot. I think I would have been like, oh my God.
I didn't. I think, again, I would be so much more overwhelmed now. But like as a kid with new responsibility, but I still felt very like protected by like my family, and I had like really good people around me. They still let me be a kid, so I didn't feel like the total burden of being an adult. I just like did what I had to do, and I loved it, and I was grateful. And I think now, going and opening up for, like, I distinctly remember the Backstreet Boys tour, which happened right after the NSYNC tour, and that was like inside in arenas. Like, I remember the arena would get dark, and this particular tour was like in the round, and so you would like kind of like sneak into the arena and like walk around the side of the stage, like the stairs up, to get to like this giant circle in the middle of the arena. And you would see like the lights out and like 20,000 glow sticks. And I remember not ever being really nervous. Like, oh, this is just like being in the moment and thinking like, this is so cool. Now, I would like poop my pants.
Yeah.
And like I would legitimately be a puddle on the floor. Like I couldn't do it.
Yeah, like such a blessing to have that, to do that when you were 15. That's the plus side of that.
Yeah, you're just fearless when you're a kid. It just like nothing really like affected me.
Because now you're a part of a new phenomenon of This Is Us and the success of that show. And so that is like another big moment. Do those feel similar? No.
Yes and no. I mean, it feels like a rebirth and like a new chapter of my life, in the same way that this felt like the beginning of a chapter as well. So I guess they're similar in those senses, but otherwise, no. It's like when you have a whole group of people in the machinery of like an ensemble of like your friends, you're in it together, feels so different than being out on stage by myself.
Male backup dancers.
Who are
older than you and you're 15.
Yes.
It's so funny. I was back in January. I was running on a treadmill and I injured myself.
Oh no.
And I haven't been able to work out since then.
Oh God.
And I need to be active for my anxiety. Like chemically, I just feel so much better when I'm being
really active. I get that.
And so I started going to this place called the Shape House, which is where they put you in like a sleeping bag and you sweat.
Yep.
Basically.
Yep.
And you can watch TV during it. So this happened in January, and so I'm going there, and when you put them on, they say, do you know what you would like to watch, or would you like to just browse? And I was like, I'm gonna browse. And so they leave and I'm in this sleeping bag and
Sweating.
Pouring
out of you.
And so I'm like, what should I watch? And I'm going to confess, at this point, I had not seen This Is Us yet. And
Oh, and this feels like an odd way to watch it, though.
So get ready for this, Andy. Oh, I was like, I'm going to watch This Is Us, the Super Bowl episode. Because it was like on the screen of like the big episode of This Is Us. And so that is the first episode of This Is Us that I watched.
What?
Was that Super Bowl episode.
In a hot sleeping bag?
In a hot sleeping bag. And
which I've done that before, and it's miserable. I was like counting down the whole time, like, when is this over?
It is brutal.
Here, and you're watching a fire on screen. It can't help.
So there's the fire on screen. Now, one way that it did help is that it was so riveting that time went by very quickly.
Oh, okay, good.
And but also they come in. So guys, they put you in this giant sleeping bag and you sweat and you watch TV and towards the end someone comes in to check in on you, basically to make sure that you have not passed out. And they're like
you're still
give
alive.
Us a thumbs up, and you're like, yep, I'm still here. And and then they come back in at the end and they're like, how was your sweat? And they come in and I'm thinking they're coming in to be like, you know, give us a thumbs up. They came in because I was crying and I had the headphones on, so I didn't realize how loud I was being. And they came in and they're like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. I mean, I'm not okay, but I'm fine. And then they leave and they come back. And now the woman's laughing because she looked on the screen and saw what I was watching.
Got it.
And so she's like slowly getting me up and, you know, like, make sure you're not going to faint. And I'm still like crying, but I don't know if it's sweat or tears. And it was such an intimate experience.
You got all of the toxins out that day.
So I just want to say
emotionally,
thank you so much for that. It's just like truly, truly amazing. That's my This Is Us story. And now I'm totally
love it.
Then I had to go back and start from the beginning. And now I'm just like fully.
Now, does it all make sense?
It all makes sense.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. I Want to Be With You is like legit one of the best songs ever. That song? Okay,
wait. I really liked that song too.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I do like that song. I'm embarrassed of my little 16-year-old singing voice, but I think that's a beautiful, very well-written pop song.
That song is so good. And in preparation for this, like when I would tell certain friends, like I'm like, oh my gosh, Mandy Moore said yes to coming on. And then I would be like, guys, do you remember I Want to Be With You? And then no matter what, everyone who I would start singing that song, and they can't stop. They have to like finish it. There's also a joy in singing the song.
That means a lot. Thank you.
And do you know that feeling like when there are songs that you like, but there are certain songs that you just love singing? And I'm not even a singer when I'm saying this. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is one of them.
Oh,
and
cool.
So my big thank you for that is you were the soundtrack to. So the summer before I went to college, my mom was like, Jen, you need to get out of here because I had like five boyfriends. And my mom was like, this is all going to come crashing down and you've got way too much time on your hands and you must go to college. Like, this is when it's like I needed to be a pop star because I need to be on the road and have responsibilities.
Sure.
And so my version of that was going to college. And so my mom was like, you got to get out. So I had my my parents threw me a graduation party, a high school graduation party. And so I didn't plan for all the boyfriends to come, but they all made their way to the party. And it was like, I was like, oh no, how am I going to balance all of this? But the one boyfriend that I, he's, my friend is going to laugh so hard, Mike Cinquani, he's still my very good friend, but Mike Cinquani and I had a romance that lasted about 4 weeks long, but it was just like, it was more friend sparks. And now we're just still such dear friends. He has the best laugh in the world, but at my graduation party, we were trying to keep it under wraps, and the DJ
put that song on,
played the song, I Want to Be With You, and Mike Cinquani and I slow danced. And let me tell you, that song, it was just so romantic that there was no denying that something was going on between me and Mike Cinquani. And so much so that then I went to the grocery store the next day and ran into my high school true love, Vinny Dargish, who had dumped me for my friend Chandra. That's neither here nor there, but he worked at the grocery store and I was at the checkout counter and he was like, so what is going on with you and Mike Cinquani? And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, Jen, we all know what was going on. Like,
we saw you guys
slow dancing to Mandy Moore's I Want to Be With You, basically. But it was because of that song. So you were the soundtrack to such a
pivotal moment.
Pivotal moment.
In your adolescent life.
Yeah.
Wow, Jen, I'm so honored.
Does that seem cool to you?
Yes, that's really cool.
Like that people have memories, like
that you I'm were, a part of people's memories.
And you were working really hard, and meanwhile, we're just like cruising around in my Jeep Cherokee, like blasting candy and
having the time of your life. That means so much. It's not lost on me, and it meant a lot then too. But especially as you get older, of course, you look back on those times, and it means everything.
Well, I just really had to get that out. So those are my thank yous to you.
Well, thank you.
Okay, now it's time. We're going to talk about Britney.
Let's talk about Britney.
Mandy, who is Britney to you?
I mean, she feels...
Because she's a colleague.
She's a colleague, as it were. We've never met each other.
Stop.
No, never met her.
Never even, like... I was going to ask if she had ever visited Justin on tour.
No. I mean, not that I'm sure they did, mm-hmm. but like not that the little measly second stage opening act would have known about. I think she's like the leader of the pack. She started it all. Like, I feel like she was at the forefront of crushing the pop music scene, of opening the door for everybody, like men and women alike. Like, she really like carried the torch.
She really, I mean, well, we all know I feel this way about her, but you mentioned you in your Catholic school uniform, and I went to Catholic school, and for me that was a big thing. Like, I felt so seen when she came out in that music video, and I was like, oh, this is my person.
Yes.
I just felt like it was a mirror image. It was, look up a picture of me. You've never seen me. It was not a mirror image, but I felt like it. But I will stand by this. I do feel like Britney and I have the same nose, at least the nose. I don't know. I feel like maybe she doesn't. Maybe she has a different nose now, or it could just be makeup. I know that contouring is big now.
But she maybe does have a different nose. It does look different.
Back in the day, I feel like we had the same nose. But that's neither here nor there. But that Catholic school uniform was really big for me. For you, because you said, so that would be like she was already out in the world when your whole deal happened.
Yeah.
So were you a fan of hers?
Well, she just sort of came out and started getting traction as I was making music.
So like while you were in the studio?
Yeah, like Baby One More Time came out. Like, I had signed that record deal. It says that the single was released September 30th of 1998. So I'd signed my record deal And a lot of the songs that ended up on my first record, like that Walk Me Home song, like a lot of those songs had already been written. But I didn't start making my record until like early 1999, early like January, February is when I started recording it. So she was out in the world. So I guess like absolutely like her influence would be felt, I think, on anybody that was making music because she was so popular.
Instantly. Or felt like that,
yeah,
too.
It was instant. Okay. I mean, the fact that like, again, September 30th of 98, and it felt like, yeah, she just like came out like a bullet, just right to the top.
Now, I mean, you seem like such a grounded, well-rounded human being. See, I would go to sometimes like this with an idea, like in writing, you'll have this idea and then something comes out and you're like, oh no, like either now the idea won't work or someone got to it first. Did it ever feel like a pressure of like,
no, I mean, I competing? I knew once I had been signed and once I was aware of like Britney, and then I think Christina came out shortly thereafter, I knew that I was my record label's like answer to that. Like, you know, when one thing hits, it's like everybody wants to try and make their own carbon copy of it or their own version of it. Mm-hmm. So I was aware that that's what my record label was doing, but I also knew that like I couldn't compete in that sense. Like, I'm not Britney. I'm not a great dancer. I don't have that same sort of like showmanship qualities. So that was never going to be me. And I didn't aspire, even as a little like measly 15-year-old, not knowing like what my career trajectory would ultimately be or like the kind of music I even really liked. I knew that I knew I wanted to be my own person. Mm-hmm. And I knew that like I wanted to have a career like Bette Midler and that she was an individual. So like even if I couldn't necessarily articulate it at that time, I was like, I want to do Broadway and movies and TV and make records and perform on stage, but I still want to be like my own woman who, like, I loved that Bette, like, you didn't really know a ton about her personal life. Like, she wasn't a pop star. Mm-hmm. So there's a weird dichotomy there with being a pop star and not wanting to,
I can't believe that you guys have never met.
Yeah.
Because to me, it just seems like it would be like the high school, like, class of, like, NSYNC, yeah. Britney Spears. Have you met Christina or Jessica Simpson?
I've met Jessica Simpson, and I think I've met Christina in passing, but it would have been a long time ago.
Oh my gosh, this is blowing my mind.
But you have to understand too, like, somebody like Britney was so insulated from the outside world, especially like at the height of her like mm-hmm. mega stardom. And it started with this record, obviously. I feel like anywhere our paths would have crossed, like, even though I was like an artist, like, she would have been kept in her own quarters. In a way, you
it's
know?
It's so interesting. Do you
bodyguards
think,
and, yeah.
Do you think, like, that Britney Spears, like, it's an energy, it's just, like, something where it is written in the stars before, it will always exist in that way. Like, there's something that she had inside of her that yeah. would be, like, she is Britney Spears, even with just this album.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's
like, it is faded or something.
It is faded. I could see that about her. And I think most people that are fans of hers would ascribe that kind of idea to her.
So you didn't have that same, like, where you were alone and like kept from.
No, she was like a mega superstar.
So funny because, like, I think of you and I'm no, like, I thought no, people we would chasing you in the mall and stuff like that. No, that didn't happen.
Not to the extent that I'm sure somebody like Britney went through. No. But in a way, it's like, it's what afforded me to still be around today because nobody knew me as well. And so I was able to go and like make movies, and it wasn't like, oh, there's Mandy on screen. Like, I know every boyfriend she's ever had and like every outfit she's worn. Like, people didn't know me. They didn't have the same relationship to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they did with somebody like Britney, which makes it harder for you to like navigate your way into trying other things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's just so singular in her, like, it's crazy to think that kids don't know, like, she just feels like she's been around forever. And the fact that, like, people don't have the same point of reference for her as, like, we do, because mm-hmm. we grew up with her in a way, is pretty mind-boggling to me.
So did you ever go to see her show in Vegas?
I did. Oh, my gosh.
I did.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. When in March? It's like, Pop Stars going to see Pop Stars.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, my gosh.
I did. When did you go? And who did you go with?
I went with my two, like, really best close girlfriends. And we took, like, a specific trip to Vegas to see her. And I think it was, oh, God.
Did you go backstage? Or no,
because you didn't. No, I haven't met her. I want to say it was 2000. How long has she been doing it? Since, like, 20?
Let's see. I think 2013 or something
so
like that.
So maybe it was, like, 2014.
Okay.
So it was like pretty early on mm-hmm. in the process. Because mm-hmm. it felt like, if I'm honest, like, they were still working out some of the kinks. Oh, you went and you met her.
I went backstage. I went to the Vegas show twice. This was at my bachelorette party. I did not Stop know I was it. Going to meet her. Mandy is looking at a photo of me and Britney Spears. I keep it on my desk.
Can I say that you both have the same, like, shocked expression on your face? She's like, wow. And you're like, wow.
Because we're like, oh my gosh, we've been best friends, but we've never met until this moment. Like, it's like soulmates meeting each other. I think it's more terrifying. I think we both look terrified.
No, you have the same smile. Do you know that? You have the same smile. It's so sweet. It's so endearing. Your expression makes me want to jump through this picture and just give you the biggest hug. You're so cute.
I cried. I cried. My girlfriend surprised me and told me that I was going to meet her. And it was my bachelorette party, and I was dressed like her, and I was fair. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to meet her while being dressed like her. And then I kept saying that to her, and it was like, clearly I'm not the first person that has dressed like her when meeting her. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but as somebody who's been in her position before, it is always flattering. It's so cool. Like, think about it. If somebody, like, came dressed like you today, you'd be like, that is so, I'm so humbled. I'm so honored that it's never lost on you. It never doesn't mean something.
We, I say we as in Rachel, my producer who's sitting here, Rachel and I, my sister and I, we used to run a summer camp. And then we also did a teen tour out here in Los Angeles. And Rachel was a part of every step of it. Aww. And that's how Rachel and I met. And, but there was we would have this van, and we would drive, teenage girls would come out to Los Angeles, and we would rent this house and Toluca Lake, and then we would show them all of Los Angeles, and then have different guests from the entertainment industry come over to talk to them, and it would be all different jobs, and just to give them, like, they more than just like, I want to be an actor and have an actor come over. It was like, here's all these things that go on, and, like, have writers come over and show,
that's so cool,
teach them how to, like, pitch and, like, do all these fun things. And so, but my favorite part of the teen tour was driving in this van wherever we were going with all the girls. And I would be like, who are you listening to? What's happening, like, in culture? Like, who are you guys aware of? And at the time, and so this was before Britney's Vegas show, I asked them, and I was like, what do you guys know about, like, Britney Spears? And they're like, we know about her. And, like, they could name, like, a few, they could name, like, Baby One More Time and like, you know, like the big hits. But so I'm so proud of Britney, because I think, like, since her Vegas show,
yeah,
she's has this whole new
generation of,
yes,
young people that are aware of her legacy, as I it mean, were.
It's amazing to be, like, I don't know, just in general, I would just want to hear your thoughts on it. Like, I mean, I look back from when I was a teenager to now being in my 30s, and thinking about career. So mm-hmm. I've only really been thinking about my career since, like, I was 22 mm-hmm. to now. So, yep. And you've had a career now for like 20 years too.
Just about, yeah.
I mean, so what is, I don't even know necessarily where I'm going with this, but I just think about Britney, and, like, she's such a hard worker, and she just, like, keeps going, and we've all, I don't know. Maybe I'm just gonna keep going, and then maybe we'll find our way someplace, and then we can edit all of this out. But, like, we've all faced adversity in our lives,
yeah.
And everyone looks different. You know, what people face and go through, and most of the time, like, we've all had those, like, dark hours, and whatever whatever gets you there, where you have this moment where it's like, I call it like, you know, you're on the floor, you know, you hit the floor and you're like, I don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. But you start to ask these questions like, I don't know what's happening. And I don't know how I got here, but I know I don't want to stay here.
Yes.
And, like, I just think like in moments where I've gone through the really hard stuff where you go, where it's like, fuck, I don't want to stay here, but that means I have to change everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the really scary part. And the fortunate piece of that is that I didn't have to do that publicly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would even struggle, my closest friends who I know who love me so much, of deciding what to share, how much to share.
Yep.
And that's even with my closest friends and family who I know will love me no matter what. And it's like, I guess it's like, you know, she's gone through so much so publicly.
Yes.
And I mean, what is that like for you to have had a career for so long and striking that balance of public and private and going through the things you've gone through?
I can't imagine. Again, having the level and the degree of fame and adulation that she's had in her life feels so foreign to me. I can't begin to know what that's like. And again, you never know people's like circumstances and what happens behind closed doors, but certainly like for someone as talented and as magnanimous as Britney, like to have gone through those trials and tribulations so publicly, it's like you would not have a heart if you didn't feel for her. But I again feel like I've definitely had my own shares of like turmoil in my personal life, and I think I've just been lucky again that it either happened in a way that like sort of skated underneath the radar, or like I was able to sort of keep it behind closed doors. And sometimes you don't have that option, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't, and maybe in her case she didn't, and it's so tough. And I feel like it's tougher nowadays too, with like, you know, just the onslaught of like content that is created and generated throughout the course of a day, just living what we all share with one another that, you know, happens during like the course of our day. I can't imagine like being a young person nowadays and like going through what everybody legitimately has to go through in life, and what we've seen Britney face, and even just like public breakups and like her breaking up with Justin. Remember like what gigantic news that was? Can you imagine if they were both on Instagram and like they were in each other's stories, and then they weren't. And like that becomes part of the news article, is like, and she publicly unfollowed her, you know. It's just a weird world that we live in. And I'm grateful that I was a teenager when I was.
What brings you the most joy now in your life?
What brings me the most joy?
In daily life, the simple stuff.
I was like, climbing that mountain was really joyful. I love, like, we just moved, and I was like living out of boxes for 2 years. So I am so grateful for like the feeling of being settled. Of like, I love my house and I love all of that and where we are, but I just love feeling like I can really breathe now, because I felt like I felt a tightness in my chest of like all of the things that had to get done before we moved, and stuff was in storage here and there, and we were renting a place here, and it just felt like such sort of chaos. So that's what brings me the most joy, is just like waking up in the morning and this simple pleasure of like making coffee or tea and like literally watching the sun come up. And like, I love I have two dogs and two cats, and like just being home with them and my man, like I am really, yeah.
So are you a sunrise over a sunset?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I love that. Do you get up and watch the sunrise?
I usually am up to watch the sunrise. Yeah.
What?
I'm an early bird.
Like, what time are you up?
Like, I mean, sometimes I'll get up and go to the gym really early, so I wake up at like 5. But if I'm left to my own devices, like I'll wake up at 6,
So mm-hmm. I usually get to see the sunrise.
Okay, a six I can do it.
Five is tough. Even that's a set for me. The alarm. Like, yeah. Okay. That's a set the alarm for me too. Excuse me, but I like a six. I prefer a six.
Mandy, as we come to a close, could you give me just some Britney Spears favorites?
Off of Baby One More Time.
Let's do Baby One More Time, and then we can.
I mean, it's funny because I was listening to it on the way over here and it was like boom, boom, boom right off the bat. Like Baby One More Time. Mm-hmm. Crazy. Sometimes like the singles just were laying in wait like right at the beginning. I have to be honest, like the rest of the record sort of pales in comparison to those first three songs for me. I really oddly love The Beat Goes On.
Love that cover?
I thought that it was a great cover. And
well, Mandy Moore, you did make coverage. So
I do recognize a good cover. I thought that in terms of like the way the record sounds, like it does feel dated a bit. It's 20 years old. But The Beat Goes On to me felt the most modern, like listening to all of the songs. Although I do love that's that so she has a song called Email My Heart.
Oh, did you listen to it?
I did.
Email My Heart is... And then she also has a song called Dear Diary on a different album.
I remember that song.
Yeah.
Email My Heart. I was like, wow. Email was still, wasn't for everybody. Uh-huh. It was for us like young people, but definitely not for our parents.
Very cutting edge.
But I mean, Baby One More Time's undeniable. I love Crazy. I love that music video. The crimped hair.
Yes. Her hair is epic in that music.
And then sometimes, was that on the beach?
They're like on a pier.
Yes.
She's in... Those pants were very in those
parachute pants, like genie kind of pants.
Yes,
I feel like there like soft sweaters in that video.
Yes, a soft sweater, or she's wearing like a white sweatery kind of crop top, or no, but she's also in a sweater. Yes,
Very like I'm by the ocean and I'm chilled, but I need like an inappropriate like cardigan, like cashmere situation.
I always love when Britney is. Her midriff is exposed, but her arms are covered.
Yeah.
Like in so many things. It's great. It's like my stomach gets hot. I don't know. Like, gotta air out that belly button. And Mandy, what are you listening to now? What do you listen to?
What do I listen to? I listen to a lot of podcasts. So I'm a big podcaster and I like current events. So I like to listen to the news over music. So I have to tell you that like listening to this record was a welcome respite in my day.
Oh my gosh. Britney Spears, her album Baby One More Time was a welcome respite for
It was a welcome respite and it took me down memory lane, as did our chat. But it was just like, I feel like pop music is so different now, and it just doesn't hit me in the same way. And maybe it's like the nostalgia button that this definitely presses, but I just don't feel the same way. I feel so disconnected from music nowadays anyway, that like this just has a direct channel to my heart.
What do you think that is of like feeling disconnected to music?
I think it's like getting older and not like... You know, whatever's like popular with the kids nowadays is not like we're not the target audience anymore. Mm-hmm. So I feel like maybe that's where it stems from. Like I will find music myself, or like my fiance will sort of hit me to something because he's a musician. But I'm less like inclined to go digging for stuff than I think I was when I was like a young person. Because like you'd listen to a Britney record and that would immediately like lead you into listening to NSYNC or like everything that Max Martin was producing. Mm-hmm. And you would sort of like want to get your claws on like Robin and the Backstreet Boys and LFO and like all the stuff that was sort of in that same orbit in a way that I don't think, you know, I'm not drawn to do anymore.
So do you guys like put music on when you're at home? Or
we do, yeah. I mean, he sort of he's a much better DJ than I am, Taylor, my boyfriend, but we listen to like a lot of jazz records, like really, like an old couple, just like really soothing, like fun stuff at home. We'll have to have you guys over.
Van and I have some real weird vinyl records that like we'll go and like try to find. We just like, we'll go to Amoeba Records and we'll be like, okay, separate, come back with something that you really want and something that's weird that you have no idea what this is.
Cool.
And we've got some We've got some doozies, some good ones, but they're
I like
to,
that rule.
It's really fun to listen then while you're, you know, cooking or doing whatever, and you just put it on and you either laugh or you're like, wow, actually, I really love this.
Yeah.
And the joy of listening to an album from beginning to end, which I really didn't do until we got a record player and we were like, let's like listen
just
to vinyl.
Listen to it.
And then we're like, oh, wow. And then now I'm listening to a full album.
Wait, so what are the ramifications? Like, what are the guidelines for is it just like for choosing the record that you have no idea about? It's like you like the cover or the name is funny or
anything.
Anything. Cool.
So it'll be like, oh, I've heard of this person, but I've never, or sometimes like Van got one that's all, there's like 20, Rachel will love this because Rachel can play the accordion, but it's like 20 accordion players on the album cover. And
whoa.
That's like, what the album is.
And
it's really something. So that's a really good one. Or we have some good like comedy records of
Ooh.
You know, comedians from like back in the day that are, you know, those are great. I really have enjoyed those. And the Bette Midler, the Live at Last, like I remembered it from my childhood because my mom really liked Bette Midler. But then I was like, oh my gosh, I remember this CD in my mom's car, and then I got it, and now I love it for so many reasons.
I'm getting it today.
We're coming to a close. I just want to say, Mandy Moore, you carry such a light, and I
Thanks.
Think what we talked about earlier about like it's like predestined, it's like someone's fate, like Britney is just like was destined for singing and dancing and being
mm-hmm.
a show pony, like
yep.
You, I think you lead with your heart, and it's
Thank
so
you.
Beautiful to see that now on This Is Us in this way, and I'm
Thanks.
Just so excited and can't wait to keep being a fan of yours and watching you and all
Thanks,
of the things
Jen.
That you go and do, and you're such a generous person, and I really appreciate
oh
you
my
sitting
gosh.
Down and talking
Thank
about
Thank you
this.
For having me. I know that I'm not like the Britney aficionado, but at least I'm with one. So I feel like thanks for holding my hand and getting us through this together.
Well, listen, everyone out there, I can't wait to keep talking about Britney Spears with you. And I, what was so amazing about this is like getting to look like, you know, like look what do they say? A look behind the curtain.
A I got a peek behind the curtain
yeah,
here.
Like what it's
yeah.
like to be a pop star. I am sitting with a pop star. My teenage self is losing her
a version
mind
of
right
a pop star.
Now.
I don't know.
Oh,
not like Britney, but you know, I tried.
No,
I tried
like,
my hand at it.
Like Mandy Moore, and if that's your trying, my God,
yeah.
what an inspiration, Miss Mandy Moore. Thank you so much for being here. Everyone out there, I can't wait to keep talking about Britney with you. Sometimes we just need to talk about Britney. All right, till next time. Bye.
Campfire.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.